And you gonna murder this one and murder that one. Talking all that bullshit. I'ma put it to you like this, yo.
This is for the nerds. This is for the brainiacs. This is what we deserve. Go ahead and play it back. You ain't gonna touch me. You not gonna do nothing. You are not above me. I bet you wish you was me. I know it, I know.
What is popping, everybody? And welcome back to another special episode of the Only Friends Podcast. Well, you know, it's me and my only friends, which includes, but is not limited to, my boy Guapito with the pizza. Guap.
Delicious white pizza.
Where's
on the
pizza?
Way. Should be here in like in 2 or 3 minutes.
Guapizza?
Oh my God,
that's
man.
Racist.
Guapizza. You're now Italian.
That's okay. I still enjoy it.
We will welcome you with open arms.
Yeah.
What is this pizza bit?
I ordered a white pizza from Brooklyn's Finest New York Pizza. Mm. Something like
that. That place is bomb.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So we're going to do a one bite challenge here today.
Sure.
And you know, everybody, one bite. That's the rule.
Mm. Okay. I'll take a bite. Guap, you ever had their pizza before?
Is the bit that he never takes one bite?
What?
Is the bit that he never takes one bite?
Yeah.
Okay. Just making sure I'm all caught up.
4 days, Berkey. 4 days.
Stop it.
What do you mean stop it? You're fucking ready to go right now. Look at you.
I'm just
nice hoodie.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Beautiful. 4 days. They put out the roster today.
Mm-hmm.
Looks good. Looks real good.
You can't even say it with a straight face.
No, they look solid top to bottom. They do. Listen,
come on, bro.
I know I say this every year. Look at me. Look at me, Brent. Brainiacs and nerds and brainiacs. It's going to be our year.
Birds and
this
maniacs.
Is our year.
What's their over under? And did you bet it?
I bet
higher
it.
Lower.
Listen how sharp I fucking am.
Higher lower.
I bet it at 72.5 and it is now at 76. So.
Always beating closing lines, LaManna.
That's right. That's right. I learned that from, what the hell's his name?
Sean Perry bets.
That's it, Sean Perry. Yeah.
Sean Perry wins.
I learned from him. Yeah.
Hoorah.
Exactly.
Wow. That's a big movement for you,
they've
man.
Done some shit in the offseason, man.
3.5 games you got? That's a nice little buffer.
Mm-hmm. When are you going to come out with your.
I mean, they're going to win at least 80. So.
When are you going to come out with your tout picks and shit?
My what?
Your picks. When are you going to have your, like, a Telegram group that people can buy in?
Oh.
We definitely fucked up. We should have gotten in early on the Steelers. Whatever their win total was.
Oh,
true.
Yeah.
It almost
You'll
certainly.
Get a good line from Conrad later.
That's
on.
True.
I'm out. You guys got black quarterbacks.
That's
when they're
true.
Black, you stay back. I'm out. Even if it is Mr. Cringe himself.
Right.
I'm out.
Unlimited.
Let's ride.
Are you saying that Justin Fields and Russell Wilson are more mobile than Mason Rudolph?
Here we go.
Here we go.
God damn it.
These are your people, man.
I might make the slap bet just to get slapped myself for having to endure this.
Here we go.
It is so much, man. Why do I feel like something important happened this weekend?
It didn't.
That
NCAA?
Yeah. Okay, NCAA, all
the favorites won.
Right, chalk across the board.
Every single favorite won.
That Creighton finale, though.
Oh, except for one. There was one favorite that didn't win. Baylor. And
Baylor lost to Clemson.
Yes.
Ooh, okay.
Wait. Tigers.
In the round of 32?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. There was a...
EG Baylor.
Which game was it that was...
It was Creighton,
15-11 or something like that?
Yeah, yeah, Oakland. Oakland
yeah,
versus
it was
NC 14, State.
14-11. Yeah. Oakland NC. That was a really good game, too.
That was a good game.
That was good. Both those teams were drawing dead.
The white boy couldn't do it.
Yeah.
He used up his green bean.
I've already forgotten his name.
So,
he got a TurboTax sub, like, immediately after. He got, like, an ambassadorship deal and made, like, an
of
ad.
Of course. He looks exactly like a guy who would shill TurboTax.
He's like, I make all my moves. You can make all your moves with TurboTax.
Bro, watching him play, it was so insane. I mean, because obviously when he went 10 for 20, I wasn't paying attention to him because I didn't know who the fuck he was. So now when he plays NC State, I'm like locked in. They're guarding this motherfucker like 20 feet off the arc. And all he does is catch and shoot. Just refuses to dribble. Never, ever, ever goes inside the three-point line. I think was it a tie game It was tied at the end of regulation, mm-hmm. and they had last possession. I go, what are they going to do? They can't give it to Goki because they don't need a fucking three.
Yeah.
who's going to take the last shot? And of course, they didn't even get a shot off.
we were watching the game, and there's the center for NC State.
Burns.
Rose.
Yeah. Nasty.
Apparently, he's somehow only 275.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Connor goes, he's a big dude. I was like, I don't know, man. And I Google him thinking, like, I didn't actually think he was that tall. I thought he was like 6'6".
Yeah, he's 6'9".
So he's 6'9", according to Wikipedia.
That's a big boy.
They also say he's 275. And this guy is definitely pushing 350 plus.
The reason why this argument started or this conversation started is because I was like, yo, he moves well for a big guy. He has like the softest tuts I've ever seen for somebody. And he's like,
girls escalate.
By moves well, he moves. He just like can actually physically move. This Which guy is slow well. As fucking molasses.
He moves just as fast as you.
Maybe, but I'm not claiming to be a D1 athlete here. Well, actually, you know what? I think in my prime. Not basketball. I had a little quickness to me. Quick first step, you know?
Oh, that was quick.
Shook.
So
Let
quick.
Me adjust the camera settings. Over there.
Shook, I say.
All I saw was a white and yellow blur.
Exactly. Same. Exactly. The thing is, I could create the space. Mm-hmm. No jumper.
No jumper.
They call him the white
blur. I'm literally no jumper.
No, I'm the same. I can't shoot the ball.
Shake a motherfucker, and then they're like, well, we don't care, man.
Basically the same guy. You and Adam, 22.
Yeah, basically. Same.
Yeah.
I was the guy who was like barely pushing 6 foot that was posting up down underneath. Like, same. You guys about to see a nasty fadeaway.
Same. Please foul me. Please don't block my shot.
That was the other problem. Is like I was short, slow, and not a good shooter. So like I had no authority to ever call a foul.
Yeah, I was gonna
say. You know what I mean? Like you're just in there banging.
You're just not allowed to call fouls.
That's it.
It's just not a thing. That's it. You just gotta play through them.
That was basically what I told Connor. I was like, look, man, I'm not gonna score any points for you outside of garbage offensive rebound points. But man, I'll lock down your number one. I'm only out there for defense, and we're playing tough.
I know your role.
That's right. It's fine to be a role player. Do your fucking job. Mm-hmm. Speaking of doing your job, there were a few of our friends that did their job this weekend. We got a little Who's Cooking Corner.
Yeah, we do.
Sorry.
We
didn't give Guapo a heads up on that one. That's my bad. Jumped out with my soul leaking, going hard till I'm so eating. No chatting and no speaking, no dapping with slow breathing. Damn, homie, you the man, homie. They can't do it, but you can, homie. They can't do it, but you can. All right, we got a lot of people in the cooking corner this week. First and foremost, shout out to our roommate.
He just does it.
Mr. Corgasm himself.
Does it again, dude.
This guy. Why not? Eighth ring.
Man.
Does he even have any live? They're all online.
No, he has one. He has one or two.
He
live,
has one
right?
live for sure because that was the one when he won it.
You guys went back to back. Yeah.
Okay. Well, big shout out to Corey Padgett. Ships the 1K circuit.
The Octo rings.
That's right.
Do you know how many second places he has?
I'm sure
probably
a lot.
I mean, when you play a lot of tournaments, you win a bunch, you get second a bunch.
For like the bracelet and rings, I want to say he has. Like
I don't win any.
He has close to like 15.
Wow.
Seconds?
Yeah.
So
between bracelet and rings.
Oh, okay.
I mean, so he has eight rings. He's going to catch Maurice pretty soon.
Might. He's halfway there.
Yeah.
Halfway there, and Maurice probably isn't in action after after the latest.
Yeah.
Corey's still fucking in action.
He's in action.
He's cooking, baby.
He is cooking.
He is fucking cooking. Also cooking is our one and only Nikki. I misunderstood what this tweet was.
No, okay,
so
cooking.
She's still kind of cooking. She's trying to turn us into a band. Which I'm fine for.
Yeah. Well, we obviously know what instrument that.
Okay, I'm a little less fine for.
We are, baby. I got the fiddle ready. We're going to get shit on and popping. You know, we're back. We are back.
We're basically Dave Matthews Band. That guy with the long hair playing the fiddle.
Right. Right. That's racist.
I'm obviously Dave.
I think
balding and gray beard.
Correct. I think the issue with us becoming a jam band is we're not great on the vocals. Perhaps in unison, though. I think you know what I think we could accomplish as a team.
I don't think so.
Is these what are they the like sailor limericks.
Sea shanties?
Yes, sea shanties. Thank you, Landon.
Sea shanties.
I think collectively we could do pretty well as a sea shanty group.
Like a, like Yacht Rock?
No. Sea shanties.
There once was a...
Right? All we have to do is really figure out how to harmonize.
We're so white.
You know, remember... Remember in high school, or well, I guess more like elementary chorus, how they would separate like the sopranos and the bass or and the tenors or whatever.
Baritones.
And
then,
the baritones. And you would just like start at different points of the song. Mm-hmm. So it'd be like, you would start with like the bass. It would be like, row, row, row your boat. And then the tenors would come in, row, row, you know, we'd figure this out and would harmonize.
Okay.
But it would be with sea shanties.
Okay. I'm okay with that.
Do we practice on the voyage?
I think you're onto something.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Right. I think you're onto something. Stay
That's...
tuned for the Sea Shanty podcast.
Basically why we're going on this cruise.
Precisely. And then Guapo is going to be like...
I'm going to be playing this thing right
here. Oh, yes.
The accordion.
Guapo on the squeeze box. Let's go.
Listen, now, if you want to talk polkas... If you want to talk polkas, I'm actually pretty well versed. My grandfather was a major fucking polka fan.
Oh, I mean, Pennsylvania polka.
That's true. There's actually a Steeler fight song that's a polka as well.
It was the Pennsylvania.
Oh my God. How did I forget this? Melissa is on vocals.
Yes.
Of course.
Right. Yes.
She
of course.
Can sing.
She can actually sing.
Okay. Now we're pivoting back into 90s alternative rock.
Okay. I'm here for that.
I'm so glad because my fiddle, it was a little dusty. I had to get it out again.
Well, with your ability to play the fiddle, maybe we could do a little Devil Came Down to Georgia.
The devil came down. No.
No, absolutely
not. Your brother in Christ, what?
You do know the Steelers polka song is from an actual polka song called the Pennsylvania Polka.
I did not know that.
How do you guys not have a sports team called the Pennsylvania Polka?
The favorite team. Bum, 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 bum.
The Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, but no, that was actually...
the Pennsylvania Polka.
The Pennsylvania Polka.
Okay, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, to be fair, with a tune like that, you could really insert any lyrics.
Really
like.
Anything that's what makes it
this is
beautiful.
The only friends podcast yeah polkas
the you only know? Friends polka
here we are
can help me man please God
please, only 500 more episodes guys only 500 more episodes
okay so also cooking is Alexandria Botez she recently is signed with Gigi what did I say Alexandria
yes
like okay. The library
Alexandria
like the city
okay No, I. Alexandra Botez, she joined the GG team and recently put out a podcast similar to the idea that we were kind of kicking around, which I'm indifferent on. I'm not sure. I've never wanted to execute on it because I never really thought it would work out. It seems like it was okay in a heads-up format. They were, her and Daniel were basically playing and talking at the same time. Guap, I don't know if you have those clips loaded or not, but
I did not. But give me a second.
Yeah, if you want to pull those up, we have a couple highlights from it. One young Landon Tice gets
imagine Landon's name got brought up.
Bit of a shout out in this episode. So essentially, it seems as though she's going to be creating more poker content. Oh, here we go.
Go ahead. I'm on.
Rock and fire, baby. Okay. While I'll fill the void. So it seems like she's going to be creating more poker content for the GG channel. And the first one was an episode with her and Dean Eggs, fellow GG ambassador. And they were basically discussing her entry point into poker, how she's developing and, I guess taking it more seriously, which includes some level of coaching.
He's your coach?
He's one of my coaches, yeah. I also recently started working with Chance Cornett a little bit.
That's yeah. a good
But
good
I point. Like it because then I have a GTO guy and a live tell guy. So together, perfect combo, you know?
Chance is very good because he combines both. I think that's like what you want to do.
But what I like with Landon is that, you know, and I think you were talking about something similar with Lex, is
1,000.
He's someone who can explain how the solver works for me.
And I have one more.
Okay, we got one more in the chamber.
Yo, D-Nex has
Landon told me when there's three cards that are the same to bet
smaller.
One, to bet just one blind. Yeah. So that's all I'm doing here.
What did he tell you that means when there's, what is the term for that? Three of the same suit?
Wet board? Monotone?
Monotone.
Yeah, okay,
that's
okay.
Right.
All right, you're see, betting? We got the poker terminology here.
So Landon would say I should peel here, which means I'm going to fold. See? Spade and everything.
bro.
Shots
one
fired.
Big man. You can't pull the spade for
I'm
a big
tell
blind.
You, man. This fucking guy.
Did you see how dead he was, though?
God.
He wasn't that dead.
No, he wasn't. He had
two live cards. Yeah. Backdoor straight draw.
Current check checks. He can bluff. Then yeah, I mean, fair like, concept.
What are we doing? Right. Let's play the fucking game here, big guy. You know? Yeah, so I don't know. I think the content itself looks interesting.
Yeah,
it's, cool. It's pretty exciting for poker. Obviously, the chess crossover. She has a massive platform. Hopefully, this is going to take off. D-Negs, man.
Can't help himself.
This guy can't fucking help himself. You know, like, I'm not offended by it. Like, it is what it is. Yeah, obviously, he has his beliefs. But I want to put it out there, and I want people to understand this. Landon will absolutely fucking mop Daniel when it comes to tournaments. And I'm sure Landon isn't happy that I'm like putting him in this spot. Like, it's a lot of pressure.
There's nothing he can do about it.
But what's he going to do? The facts are the facts, man. Like, this is like such a projection of just knowing when the game has passed you by, and it's like, oh, I bet he told you that. It's like, no, you should definitely go with chance. It's like, come on, bro. Like, no, when it fucking ends. Like, the reign is over. The young guard is coming up, and they're all fucking very good. Like, give them their props.
Look,
let's move
on. I started trying before the JBEX crossbook. And like the crossbook, even one, they made me kind of keep it, so to speak. This is just more of that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like
there's a burning fire and there's gasoline being poured onto it.
It's all good. It's fun.
It's fun. It's fun. It's competitive. Look, it's a competitive environment. It's just like, I'm just so over the projection from like my generation and the generation that's even older, where like we're the gatekeepers to all things that are holy when it comes to poker. It's like, bro, we're fucking washed. Like, top to bottom, we all made our money. We're on our way out. We all have one foot out the fucking door. We're washed when it comes to this game by comparison to the young, like, hungry up and comers that are fucking slay. I see what this kid does. He's why I don't want to play tournaments. Like, he's legitimately why I don't even want to step a fucking toe in that arena, because I'm working 60% as hard as he is when it comes to cash games. And I know the level of confidence that I have when I sit down at those tables, and like the degree at which I think I'm earning and where I think that cutoff lies, right? Like, what would the lineup have to be to the point where I think that like I'm either breaking even or starting to lose? And it's like, okay, it would take a really elite group now for me to feel like I'm not making any money in this environment. But that's with me still putting a ton of fucking energy and effort into the game and learning and staying sharp in one specialized arena. I'm not doing any of that in MTTs.
No.
Not one goddamn thing. I don't know push fold charts. I've played like 3 WSOP events during the circuit thing just for shits and giggles, and I made a mistake on every one of my busts. Every one of them. I jammed incorrectly. I'm a pip or two too wide, or I'm fucking whatever. I'm just torching. And I see what he's running, and it's like, no, absolutely not. If this is what it takes,
I don't want
Godspeed everybody who's over there, because like you're literally adding like 3 or 4 pieces of software that I never even have to consider when it comes to cash games. Like,
you just get to play with broken all the time.
Right. Maybe not anymore. I pissed him off yesterday. As soon as I sat down, he left. Oh man.
Hey Landon, how is Miss Botez as a student?
She's good. Yeah. It's funny because there's a lot of things that she does kind of well that I didn't even know about, call it X amount of years into poker as a whole. Like, there was a hand that she played in one of the GG mains probably about a year ago or maybe 6 months, where she like took small pair and just like tripled it, and I'm like, I didn't start doing this until like last year. And she's like, oh, like this card's good for my range, so I'm gonna bet the turn. And I'm like, yeah, I mean,
that's the Landon. That's the Landon special.
You're not wrong.
You are teaching her.
So yeah, like, no, she does. Like, and this was before kind of me even having some sort of influence in that regard. But I mean, she's very smart and she wants to get better at poker. And my sort of job is to explain how the machine works, or like why the machine does what it does. Not that it's the correct answer, so to speak.
Sure.
More so,
if she had busted in that hand, Daniel would never let her live it down.
Nope. Yeah.
I told you. Like, this is why you can't listen to these nerds. You know, you just have to look a guy in the face and just understand.
You can't fold 6-5 with a spade, man. It's one big blind. Pot odds are real.
No, he's doing that thing where you take hands that are making money and you fold them early because you're not good enough to play them later.
Well, she literally told him she she's betting her entire range. She right. basically she's like, Landon told me to just bet my entire range right here.
I did,
and I will for as minimal as possible.
Right, and he said,
I got a flush draw. I fold.
I mean, it's 45% equity. I fold. I pass. You know, you might have just actually hit that
but
one.
But you know what it is, honestly, though, like when it comes to like the theory way of how poker works, like it's not very flashy or fancy, right? It's just good fundamentals, and you just get to kind of win long term. Where like that's not going to be the make or break hand of somebody's tournament, right?
No,
where they
course.
Bet a big blind or whatever. But let's say they know that they can just bet small because people will start folding hands like this. Like you're winning a lot in the spots that that comes up, and edges are so small as is. It's you kind of want to take what you can get these days.
Well, it's just more so the compounding effect, right? Like that specific hand or that specific fold may not actually cost Daniel very much win rate, but it's the idea behind the fold because it's not just that hand.
It's
an entire
approach.
Cluster of hands within his range that are incentivized to continue in some sort of capacity and just don't.
It's like,
right?
Okay, you're folding 6-5 with the spade. You're folding 5-4 with the spade. You're folding all the low spades, right? Maybe you stop at the 6 of spades and under.
And
now
it's not even just
this
that.
Range that-
it's not even just the fact that those hands now exit the tree at this particular node. It then compounds and creates future problems whenever... Why are we still on Landon? Right. Whenever... whenever you land on later streets and you can't reach for bluffs, right? Like, I just don't think... The problem is, and it's funny because I am at my core a live guy, and we're going to talk about this later, the difference or the softness in live versus online. I'm at my dead core. I'm a live guy. I'm a look a guy in the face. I am for sure I'll fold King's pre if I think it's the correct thing to do type of exploitative player.
Maybe you should have done it when Andre.
I mean, in hindsight, I probably could have. But the point is that I wholeheartedly believe in the live aspect of it being a living, breathing organism that you can execute on in real time as a one-of-one scenario. That being said, I have absolutely been humbled and have had my ego checked dozens upon dozens of times over the last 5 or 6 years as theory has blossomed and become more popular in the collective. Because what's happening now is people are no longer just instinctively reacting to the spot that they're in. Therefore, they're not giving away the same level or degree of information that they used to in the past. So regardless of how people are applying theory, whether it's good, whether it's bad, or whether it's excellent, doesn't really matter, because what happens is there's a new driving force behind their decisions, and that has to be considered. And what that ultimately does is it restricts us from having this belief that we could just be Hellmuth and play every fucking spot perfectly and risk averse because we just can see through the goddamn cards. It's like, you just can't. And doing things that give up money in any realm where it's measurable that you're earning is an absolute insane decision to make whenever the end goal is to earn.
It is really crazy, man. Like sometimes you really think you have some sort of idea how somebody plays in the sense of, oh, like they jam for 25 bigs. The worst hand they could possibly have is ace jack or whatever. And like you just have a hand where you need to call for chips and you just see a hand that should never fucking exist at all.
Right.
You're like, oh, this is going to chalk it up to an outlier, but it's not the norm. It's like, right. How do you know what the outlier of the norm is for this specific person? You have no idea.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, whether we're talking about poker or any other world or realm, I guess, having some sort of system in place that can be your guardrails is incredibly important. And that's what theory serves as in the poker sphere. So people who are just like blatantly ignoring it almost arrogantly are going to suffer the recourse of their opposition not ignoring it, right? And eventually you just become you become the target, you become the whale, whether you intended to or not. At some point we just can't do better than the I guess like the systematic approaches, right? Like complex systems need to be simplified in some sort of meaningful way. And that's what these guardrails actually allow for, I guess, when it comes to like real-time brain solving.
Hold on, I'm speedrunning. I'm trying to see if I can get Guapo to share my screen. I just want to see how much holding 6-5 is worth it. Oh, shit. There we go. So we're at the Wizards.
We know how much it's losing.
Heads up with Ante. I just got to know, you know? So check.
I just got to know.
And you
know.
See, like, you're mostly just betting your range. You know what? Let's just make it a range bet. Because I was like, you know what? Monotone board, just range bet. You're going to be fine. If you're falling 6-5.
We're putting
five,
Daniel
look,
in the muck here.
Look what you did, Daniel. He's stimming.
I mean, I said the check, you know? It's like, oh, 6-5 off with the spade. Oh, wins like a small blind.
That's it?
Just 50 bigs per 100.
Just 50.
Pure continue. You want.
Yeah, pure continue and raises like 3/4 of the
raise
time.
Raise if you have a 6 of spades. That's a good hand.
Man, half a big blind when there's only, what, 2 big blinds in the pot?
With the 6 of spades, it's worth more. It's worth 7.7.
Right. Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Wait, 7.7 big blinds?
No, it's 0.7 big blinds.
Oh, okay, yeah, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Your hand can't be that good. You just got to
still, that's
like, you know, you call the turn's a deuce.
That's
like
20% pot share. All right, we don't need to get into this.
But I feel like it goes check. You can bluff sometimes. You can win. You know, it's not that hard.
All right. Final man who is cooking. Big
shout out to the Wiz.
Pennsylvania legend, Yinzer himself. Mr. Soil Brunson. Everybody in the PA pools, you know exactly who I'm talking about. He shot me a DM yesterday. He said, won the Sunday special wearing my Drew Maggie jersey, listening to the Only Friends pod while sweating on Twitter. My buddies run at Rivers in the Pittsburgh Hammer.
Let's go.
4-1-2 eclipse, in my opinion. LOL. For those of you guys who don't know, Drew Maggie, former Bucko. Wait, is he a former Bucko or still a Bucko?
Maggie, I think he's out of.
Yeah, he's got to be out of the league
by
now.
He's out of the baseball.
Yeah, that sounds
he's
great.
Out of the
but
baseball.
Man, what that brief stay he had, incredible.
What a story.
What a guy.
He spent about like 38 years in the minors and finally got up. Got a base hit. Oh,
you sure he's not still in AAA?
I don't think so, man.
He's only like 35.
I know we DFA'd him, so.
Okay, well.
Maybe somebody picked him
Drew
up.
Maggi.
You know what? The thing is, he's great, like a guy to have like on the minor league team.
Come on, bro. Stop selling Drew Maggi.
I'm saying he's great, like, because he's like, he's not.
Wait,
like,
hold on. You are trying to say he should be on the Pittsburgh Pirates?
No, I'm saying he's good.
On a triple A team.
I'm saying he's maybe double A.
Exactly.
Single,
the Pittsburgh
like,
Pirates.
No, he's had a lot of service time, and I'm sure he understands the game of baseball, right. And he's good for the younger players.
Yes, you know how he would fit in really well?
A coach.
Exactly. Exactly. And honestly, he'd probably make more.
Okay, listen, Burke, if it was you out there, right, and your legs, you could
if
still.
If I were Drew Maggi.
You could still. If you, they were still going to give you at bats.
Listen, if
you
I were.
And they said, you can be a coach or you can do stuff with at bats.
No, no,
what
no.
would you choose?
Look, you're making a very compelling argument. Yeah. Look, if I were Drew Maggi, and to give you guys the full picture, this guy is like a career minor leaguer, like 15 years in the minors, finally got an AB last year. Yeah. I think he went like 1-for-4 in the show. Shipped them off and disappeared, right? If I'm him at 35, after having a cup of coffee in the show, I'm Barry Bonds in my head.
Yeah.
Okay. I come back to that AAA squad with a level of swagger like you've never seen before. My dick would grow 6 inches by the time I made it back to the Altoona Curve AA.
That sounds painful.
Maybe for you, big guy. Not all of us are working with a goddamn unit.
Okay. You know? Hey, listen, how much money does a minor leaguer make?
Not much. It depends on the level.
Yeah.
Once you get to AAA, you can do pretty well.
You can make 6 figures as a minor league ball player?
Okay. So, yes. If you're a first rounder and you sign,
right.
you could be making 6 figures year one.
Yeah. If you're like someone who has no shot to make the show, you might make like 30K a year.
Yeah. And that might even be generous, to be honest.
But they're only playing 6 months out of the year, right?
Yeah. But a lot of them go to like winter ball. Probably not getting paid much, if anything at all. Mm-hmm. It very much varies. But I think like once you make AAA, you're probably earning close to league minimum on average. Maybe a little less than league minimum. I'm speculating, but usually the guys in AAA have either service time in the MLB or they have a real shot to get called up if they're young enough.
They sign like contracts and stuff.
I'm looking at a picture right now of two Los Angeles Dodgers.
Ohtani and Betts. I know how Conrad works.
Ohtani Betts. So
there's a twist to this. There's a twist to this that's actually very poker related.
Plot twist.
One of the bookies heavily involved in this is a poker player.
Okay.
His name is DJ. I don't know. I should have sent this link because it was on Twitter at some point. I can't recall his last name, but he's well known in the high stakes community.
Okay.
And I believe he's, there's something going on. He's either being investigated.
Oh, I saw this. Yeah.
Joey.
I don't think he's indicted or anything along those lines yet, but I know that they're like heavily, heavily investigating him.
Yeah.
And he has David Chesnoff representing him, which, by the way, If you know anything about the high stakes poker community, David Chesnoff has had his fingers in the mix of getting high stakes poker players off of like federal crimes for decades. If ever there was a question of how dirty the money is in high stakes, just follow the David Chesnoff trail. this guy's so rich off of like wealthy high stakes poker players. I believe he was even a part of the Paul Fua case, if I'm not mistaken, but I could be wrong on that. Anyway, it's going to be interesting to watch because
not a news source.
Yeah, definitely not a news source. But the more that like seems to come out from this,
yeah,
the more it seems to be. And again, like I don't know how accurate these reports are, but there's a lot of speculation that really, really, really large 7- and 8-figure bets were placed in Japan with a well-known bookie on days that Ohtani pitched.
Yeah, for what it's worth, we don't know if those were Japanese currency or American.
Oh, that's fair. But either way, it doesn't really matter. Honestly, like from MLB's perspective, it doesn't matter if he's betting $1 or $1 million.
No, of course. The shit that I saw, that thread was like it's saying that he threw multiple games, basically.
That's what it implied.
Yeah.
Wow.
And again, we don't know how accurate it is that... Like, how much can we really trust that some random guy in Japan who's taking, like, underground bets for... Right.
Like, why would that guy ever say anything? Why would this like, information ever be out? Like, you know, like, it's...
Well, because he got fucked.
But, like, the bookie was.
The bookie got fucked.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Because he clearly took a bet from not Ohtani.
Yeah. I see what you're saying.
Against Ohtani.
Imagine Ohtani just goes up to him. I like make a bet, please.
right. I'd like to bet against myself today, actually. Honestly,
the opposite of Pete Rose.
Honestly, if you're the bookie, you should just take that action. And then you should find a bunch of other people to just like, not just offload it, but like pile in on that. Like, you just got. It cost you a little bit of money, but you just got free insider info.
Yeah, of course.
Like, oh, okay, this motherfucker's about to throw this game.
Yeah.
I'm going to see if I can get $100 million down.
Yeah, you're like, hey, you know what? Like, how far does this go until the music stops?
Right. Yeah. look, man, this has always been the fear of the gambling world. And I think that...
It's a legitimate fear.
How crazy is it that the first year that gambling is kind of like legalized in more place, like a lot of places... It just comes out like shit.
You understand that's because it's legalized and regulated, right? Like gambling.
This has been going on forever.
Yeah, gambling scandals have been going on forever. Like point shaving scandals going back to the NCAA.
Yeah.
Soccer is like believed to be the most corrupt sport behind boxing.
Yeah.
You know, these matches are so riggable, especially when you're talking about like small teams where they're not really playing for anything. They're not in the actual big leagues and they're still getting like tons of action down on this
very
type of
influenced
shit
by a bunch of money too, because they're probably not getting paid as much.
Exactly, precisely. So like buying players off is not that expensive. Imagine if you could pay $10,000 to buy a player off who can position a game one way or the other, and then you can go get like 6 or 7 figures down.
Like, so it drives me crazy about the UFC because like these fighters don't get paid money.
Right.
So like, and you don't get paid money unless you're fucking McGregor or Jones.
That's the thing. That's why this story is so fascinating, because Ohtani's been getting bank.
Yeah, he's been getting paid. Right.
So it's like that's the big thing. That's why the NFL, the NBA.
Well, it's deferred.
Sure. And apparently, like, he has a wife that nobody knew about.
He's like, he just came out. He's like, by the way, guys, I'm married.
Yeah. Right.
It's all kinds of like somewhat sketchy shit going on. But like, that's kind of the belief there in that, like, the MLB, the NBA, the even the NHL and these other major sports, the athletes are being paid enough to where you don't believe they can be bought off.
Yeah, now...
But then you have this trickle-down effect, right? Like that big scandal in the NBA where the referees were getting bought off.
And now keep going down. Ask NCAA, like...
Well, we know that college is, like, very, very susceptible. Even when it doesn't come to, like, point shaving and shit like that, just pre-NIL, you could, like, basically lease a fucking athlete prior to him signing his contract and then get paid favors down the road, you know? There's obviously always going to be a ton of corruption whenever you're talking about a multi-billion-dollar industry like gambling.
That's true.
And you know, at the end of the day, like, if we only see one story like this a year, that's kind of a W for the gambling industry.
I mean, and,
you know,
but the problem is, like, if you see one, there's 20 others.
Right, but like, others, that's like, the nature of professional sports, bro. Like, there's a big unspoken conversation about PEDs. Yeah. You know, like, let's call a spade a spade. The NFL has been riddled with PEDs from day fucking one.
No way those guys are on any drugs. Those guys are all natural, 100%. There's no way DK Metcalf has never taken anything in his life.
Bro's a freak. Bro's a freak.
This one was pretty infamous. When the 1990 Rebels were, like, at their height, they somehow got caught with this, like, super fixer in a hot tub.
Wow.
That's funny.
That's sick.
This is just like random white old dude with like three young black collegiate athletes. Like, one's eating a burrito. It's probably just like the fucking, hey, man, you want to eat like this every day?
Every day.
maybe take a couple points off this week.
Take a day off, mate.
But have you seen the U?
I
30 for 30 or whatever? So it wasn't about like scandals with regards to like point shaving or anything like that. But man, those athletes. Specifically, I guess it would have been like the late 90s, early 2000s Miami teams. It was when Greg Olsen was there and like Pouncey. Actually, that might have been the follow-up to the U. The original U might have been like the Michael Irving years. But anyway,
yeah,
the whole
the
point.
80s.
Yeah. The whole point was like they were running around with like, I mean, they were celebrities.
Yeah.
They were just celebs as like 18, 19, 20-year-old kids in Miami with this powerhouse unit of a football team that was getting national notoriety, and they were hanging out with like I can't remember the lead singer's name of they sing Me So Horny. Come on, man.
Two Live Crew.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you, Guapo. They were like running around with Two Live Crew. They were going to like these rap parties and like getting all these favors. They were getting cars off the lot and shit like that. And it's like at the end of the day, who fucking cares?
Yeah.
You know, who cares? But also, that kind of just speaks to the level of corruption that's available, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there's a great movie that, I mean, not a great movie. It's actually a terrible movie. It's one of my favorites, a cult classic called The Program. And the whole thing is just about corrupting a college football program.
Oh, I've never seen it.
And like how the boosters like influence, and like one guy's on steroids and another guy's like the quarterback who's a Heisman hopeful is like an alcoholic. And like, you know, they're kind of quietly trying to rehab him during the season, during his Heisman run. Just so much drama and shit that's occurring because you're dealing with poor teenagers who have a shot at glory, you know? And whether that glory is currently now within the confines of this team and like this is their height, or they have a future ahead of them in a very volatile industry. You know, like the NFL, where the average year, or the average career is like 2.5 seasons, and the average earn is probably like 1.5. You know, it's like there's just like a lot of unknown there, and big businessmen who are willing to corrupt and you know front money for big returns down the line, agents, all this shit. You know,
yes.
Fucking Lattimore, baby.
That guy's not on anything.
Love Lattimore.
He goes on
This scene ends with those two coaches going, somebody want to tell Lattimore that he got a piss test?
What movie is this?
What's the program?
Oh, so I did see that.
Fucking fantastic.
Yeah, I've never seen it.
Because I see that.
James Caan at his peak, by the way.
Oh, at his peak.
Right, yeah. Not, fuck the not Godfather.
I was going to say.
Fuck the Godfather. James Caan is the head coach in the program.
Yep.
Peak James Caan. By the way, Omar Epps, a.k.a. Mike Tomlin, lead in this movie. He's the running back. Don't forget that.
Yeah, tailback. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. You understand.
Great cast. And that is why Drew Maggi is no longer in baseball. That's a nice
and
old
that
tangent.
Will wrap who's cooking. We're fucking cooking. That's
we
who's
did.
Cooking.
We did it.
This is cooking adjacent. Doesn't really fit, but Marley put out a new piece of content. And I have to kind of feel like, you know, she watches.
Yeah.
She tunes great. In.
Oh, it's so good.
She's a part of the pod sphere.
She's been on.
She knows about Just Pay.
She does.
Charles? How you doing? It's me. How's she doing? Not well. She's just muttering something to herself. We can't make out what she's saying. But we do believe she's a threat to her own health, so we're going to keep her in the straitjacket for now. How was the game last night, by the way? It was fine. I lost big pot right at the end. I just don't know why I call these people. And I just fucking called down. They never bought me.
They always have it!
Hey, Marls. How you doing?
Of LaManna.
Yeah.
No, she did. No. She really did sound like Mama Jo there.
That was Mama Jo 100%. They always have it! Like 100% Mama Jo.
Yeah. You're definitely not wrong.
I mean,
Mama Jo.
We just need to bring Mama Jo's like, text to life.
It's just like, could you just fucking bluff one goddamn time in your life? You just never bluff, do you? You just don't. You're just never gonna bluff.
Just don't give him the chance, man. Bet your own fucking hand. Always, you know.
I had a bluff catcher.
It's a problem. Go for turn it into thin value, bro. That's right. All I can say.
That's right.
Bet your own hand.
All right. So moving into the betting arena, since we were talking sports bets, a couple bets have come to fruition. First and foremost, Jesse Lonis posted 2 days ago that he was going to Thunder Valley for the WPT. He was looking for last minute, last longer bets between him and Danny Sepuel versus any two people playing 10K minimum. Didn't really get a bite and kind of took it as an opportunity to flex. He goes, man, a year ago, every nerd in the world would have jumped at this opportunity. They all smartened up or went belly up. But like the truth is that like
they didn't go to Thunder Valley.
Yeah, nobody cares, right? Like Thunder Valley is obviously a super soft field. Jesse and Daniel are obviously winning a lot of money in that field. And also it's just like, yeah, like who Brewer's not there, you know, who are the two people we're plucking out of the Thunder Valley field that we're like, yeah, definitely want them against Jesse and Daniel. You know what I mean? It's like you two are clearly like two of the better players in the field. But this then led to, a lot of replies that ultimately resulted in a bet. So let me see if I can find it in thread.
So basically Mario Mosbeck.
Right, Mario Mosbeck replied,
quote-unquote, Fedor bot by Will Jaffe.
Did he did he quote tweet it or did he just reply?
I want to say he quote tweeted it.
Okay, let's see. View quotes. Nope. I definitely saw it. Yeah, there was an exchange between him and Mario that led to an exchange between him and Brewer. I'm just going to find Brewer's.
Oh, Brock's still in there.
Okay.
Steven Stong's still in there.
Well, we should have taken them because Jesse's not in there.
Sepiel's in there.
Sepiel's in there.
Sepiel's
all right. Well, we would have done okay.
26 left.
2-1. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There we go. Okay. So in that thread, I believe Mario had commented somewhere or maybe prior to that thread. Oh, it's there. Yes, book. There we go. All right. So Mario did quote tweet it. He said, happy to help out if you're looking for nerds to take your money.
Based as fuck.
He said, WSOP is right around the corner. Can we bet on anything you want besides soccer? Mario says, any 5K plus, any 5K plus event, any stakes, you choose the event and bet size. I choose the players. It's going to be a great summer. Jesse says, I thought you wanted to bet me. And why does it have to be 5K plus? The solver doesn't work in big fields, ? I'd rather do me versus you, not trying to keep track of others. Brewer then jumps in, snipes the action, says, would do you versus me mutually played. I'll fire some stuff sub 5K, but we'll be mostly 5K plus. They booked.
Brewer sniped? Ugh.
Well, I think Mario can also just double down.
Okay.
Right? Because Mario was basically saying, I would choose anybody from the field, so he can just happily choose Brewer.
Double down on Brewer, yeah.
Lewis then jumped in. He said, I'll also take some action on Chris. Jesse agreed. So then they started to go, Brewer says tentatively would do something like 20% crossbook mutually played, 100K max loss per event. So something similar to your bet, basically. And what we're seeing now,
we're bringing
to
the crossbooks back, baby, live versus the nerds.
Well, I got to tell you, crossbooking was never really a thing in the past, right? It was just bracelet bets. That was the easiest way to do it. And then there would be like some maybe 1v1 on like total caches or something like that. But those were a lot less popular. Bracelet bets were a lot more popular. But what I think's happening here, it's so weird because I hate to poo-poo this. Because like I'm rooting for guys like Jesse. I'm rooting for guys like Chance. I'm rooting for the live guy, right? Like I want that dream to be alive. I want there to be a subsection of this industry.
You want to funnel the live guys in the Bobby's room.
It's not that.
I'm just joking.
I want the dream to be alive. I don't want the game to distill down to people who are just willing to
who basically
service an engine 24/7.
Consult the machina.
Right. The problem that I have, and the reason why I have such a hard time getting behind it, is because of the righteousness and arrogance.
I was gonna say the ego the live guy has.
It's insane, man. It's just insane. Like,
that's funny. I look at it the other way around.
In what way?
I feel like the solver guys are more arrogant.
No, they're just right.
You know,
they're just proven to be right.
They're arrogant,
like,
because they're right.
They're quietly arrogant.
Look at the top 10 all-time money winners. There's like two that are non-solver guys, and they're not even in action. Like, they're going to get passed up very quickly. You're not going to see Bryn in the top five for much longer.
Because of high rollers and stuff. Yeah, all-time money list. Bryn, like, Bonomo, Chidwick, Kuhn, Smith, Makita, Deneggs, Haxton, Seidel, Peters.
Right, so Deneggs will be out of the top 10 within a year and a half. Bryn will be out of the top five in about the same amount of time. And, you know, Seidel, it depends on volume, I guess.
That's pretty sick that Seidel is in there.
Seidel fucking works, bro.
He's the best.
Like, Seidel is... If you think Seidel isn't in full-blown solver streets, if you think Seidel doesn't have group chats across the fucking board...
That's Big E you're talking about.
Right. That man is truly fucking egoless. Like, nobody is more humble than Eric Seidel when it comes to all that he's achieved up until this point, and just recognizing that he's basically feels like he's starting from scratch every single day.
He wants to compete. He wants to be in there. He still wants to be the best, right?
He said that multiple times.
He's doing what he thinks or knows that needs to be done.
Yeah, no, he said the game has kind of passed him like multiple times, and like people are just kind of just really good.
I think that's the most specific thing, is it's not just that he wants to compete. It's that he's willing to acknowledge that every single achievement that he's had up until this point is meaningless in today's game.
Right.
And that's not a slight against Eric's career. Eric is a fucking first ballot Hall of Famer. Like, I don't think he struggled at all to get in on his first attempt. He's the fucking guy, man. Like, you know, he's the poor bastard who lost heads up to Johnny Chan in rounders. You
it's
know
the
what
willingness
mean?
Like, to be able to adapt and to you know, to your environment. The environment
more than that,
changed.
I think just to admit that, you know, you're behind. Like, you need to do some studying. Like, these kids are doing
things.
The
game
that,
has changed. The environment has changed. And you need to do something about it if you want to be able to keep playing.
Top 20 is a nasty list, too.
It's him not believing his own hype at a point where he's already so accomplished, he could just ride off into the sunset.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And he just chooses not to do that. And that's why I think it's, like, just abundantly clear that within the next year and a half, 2 years, you're going to see the top 10 get shaken up. And a lot of movement. Like, Daniel just doesn't put in enough volume and doesn't win enough money to maintain that top 10 status, right? And that's not a slight against Daniel's game. He's obviously very good at high rollers. It's just more so speaking to the fact that everybody who's behind him is putting in like $3 to $5 million worth of fucking buy-ins year over year. Mm-hmm. And they're printing their 3 to 5% ROI. So they're cashing for, you know, 3 to 6 million, whatever. And, you know, constantly moving up the list. It's hard to do that year over year, especially if you're LOLing the solver guys 24/7. You know, if you're J-bexing it out there, you're not going to fucking creep into the top 10. I think those days are gone. Like, I would happily make a futures bet that we don't ever see Jesse Lonis in the top 10, right? Or Chance, or really any of these other guys. And that's not a slight against them. They're very good at the things that they do. Bing
you can
Wang.
Make the argument that, like, most of their buy-in level isn't going to be the higher, like, super high rollers.
Right, that's why I'm saying it's not a slight against them. Yeah. They're just not going to put the majority of their volume in at Triton.
Like 50Ks, 100Ks.
Yeah, and that's totally fine.
And yeah, no one says they has to.
Of course. It would be insane to be
quite
honest.
But you see all
the
guys that are in there are mostly going to be solver nerds.
100%. And that's not an accident. At the most elite levels of this game, where the amateurs start to fall by the wayside and you just have the best of the best competing against one another, it starts to look a lot more like a sim. And you just have to accept that. You it's so weird to position it as like that's a less than version of the game.
It's almost like the common like America trope of like the nerd, like the cool, like the nerds get bullied because they try too hard.
Yeah,
you know, and it's like, oh, like, don't listen to that guy. That guy tries too fucking hard. Right. Like, you don't need this for what you're trying to do.
It's ridiculous to have a premise that more knowledge is somehow a hindrance.
Is this like the only arena where that's the case?
No, like, it's, like, no, it's like this no. in life. Like yeah. this is what people view nerds as in real life.
I guess, like, I just mean, like, you look at, like, call it the top end of, like, call it basketball, call it golf, right? You look at people that train right, every like, day.
Oh, LeBron's too good.
Yeah.
Well, you know, if LeBron yeah. were a little less good, maybe he'd work a little harder and, like, win some more championships.
It's like a golfer Allen that's, Iverson. Like, perfecting his swing. And it's like, why are you doing all this stuff with science and mechanics and how your body works? Just go out there and do
it. Well, there was always resistance to that. Like, look at yeah. analytics and stuff like that. When, like, in all sports, right? There's always a resistance to, like, change. And, well, we used to always do it this way. Now you want to do it this way? And you're like, yeah, because the science says so.
Landon, if you had to guess, how many hours a week do you think JNT is putting into solver work?
he's already rich, man.
I mean, he's cooking. Crushing.
He's cooking. Probably right, not many.
But he's not crushing. That's the thing. Like, he shows up in the results, but if we were actually to investigate, like, his ROI,
you, like, map it out,
even if he had an early sun run, it will continually regress to zero until it becomes negative, because he's clearly going to be losing in the field.
It's not a bad
thing. Like John, yeah, it's like John Smith in the Heads Up. He's won enough early.
He won twice.
Right. He's won enough early to where his ROI is difficult to regress to the mean, because you can't put in that much volume playing one event once a year.
You can't play 125K heads up at the series.
Right, exactly. But if we were to just map it out with his skill set, he would regress to the mean and he would regress to zero. And that's not a slight against John Smith. It's just, like, you know, it's just the fucking reality.
There's a lot of the guys that are in there that are very good are trying very hard and studying.
Right.
And that's variance
can only get you so far.
I wish there was a database that showed ROI instead of just caches. You know, like, I'm really glad
there isn't.
Yeah, I mean, you're right.
I'm saying all these things as a push.
I guess I wish I could see, but, like, overall, you know, if it was
right, I'm saying all these things as a pushback to the arrogance mm-hmm. from these guys that are very talented at what they do. But, you know, it's appalling to me to look at somebody who knows more about the thing that you're good at and basically, like, laugh in their face. I think that that's just, like, so blatantly disrespectful. And it doesn't even come down to an execution thing, right? Like, if a bodybuilder gets himself in, like, phenomenal shape, just, like, legit, like, 4% body fat, just sick, right? But a scientist tells him, you know, basically, you could do this, 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 or that. Like, these are the pathways through which you've achieved what you've achieved. And they just laugh at it and go, nah, bro, this is just, like, hard work. And, like, I just did what I felt. And, like, basically, if they dismiss the science mm-hmm. in that process, it's just like, what are you doing? You're just doing it based off of the fact that, like, they couldn't do what you did. Like, they couldn't execute the way that you executed. It's like, what's not a slight against what you've achieved or what you've accomplished or the hard work that you've put in. It's just illuminating the actual math of it all, or the actual, like, truth of it all, of, like, well, this is how that occurred, you know. And it's an explanation. And it's weird to me when people are either sun running or just playing in different competitive fields that they have a big edge in and they're realizing those edges, when they look at people who are willingly putting themselves in tougher spots with lower returns because they want to compete against the best of the best, and their hourly is just greater because they're playing much higher stakes. It's weird to me whenever you look at that collective and say, like, I don't care if you think you know more than me,
like, about LOL nerd. Like,
what's happening.
You know?
You're just, not only are you wrong, but, like, fuck you, come into my arena and show me mm-hmm. how that's going to work. Like, this whole notion that more knowledge doesn't serve you in lesser arenas is insane. The idea that, like, Barry Bonds would struggle at fucking Little League is laughable. Bro would just drop bombs on these little fucking kids.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that's the analogy here. It's like, if you have a win rate at Triton, you're fucking mopping.
You're winning in the 400 at the horseshoe.
You're mopping every other stake there below, right? Like, you just are, man. This idea that, like, oh, good players can't beat bad ones, shut the fuck up. What are we doing? Stop poking the fucking bear. Stop getting Chris Brewer to come play 1500s. How about that? Yeah. How about we let these guys go fucking compete in their own arena and encourage all the other ones that are winning in 5Ks and 3Ks to go do the fucking same, and leave this to the people who don't feel like putting in hard work. I don't feel like studying MTTs. Can we leave them soft so that I can just outmaneuver other people who are lazy? Is that okay? Right? Can we stop fucking dick waving against people who are spending literally thousands of hours dissecting the game at fucking the most nuanced nodes? Trying to pretend like we know more than them because I looked a fucking old man Joe Coffey in the face one time and knew he didn't have it.
Just like imagine Jesse made a crossbook with Brewer for like X thousand percent for like 600 buy-ins and lower. And it's like, oh, like now you just have Chris playing a 600. Okay, great.
Right. Like, let's not.
What's to stop Chris from getting other people that also like math to do the same thing? You know, they got a lot of money.
Let's leave the fucking math guys alone. Can we please? You know, like they're fucking dangerous. Okay. The more we get them into our environment that is very soft, live is incredibly soft. It's very protective. The more we bring these math guys back in, the more they're going to fucking learn about it. And the more they're going to unveil to the general populace, right? They're going to find these little tricks that nobody's fucking doing. And then the general populace is going to start to emulate that. And it's going to make things harder for no good goddamn reason. All because you want to prove over a tiny sample size that you can get lucky. Because that's exactly what these bets are, right? It doesn't matter who wins. The sample's fucking dust. Mm. At the end of the day, the ROI gap between the better player and the lesser player is what it is. Whether it's realized or not, doesn't fucking matter. You know, like we can model this if they, I'll tell you this right now, everybody on Jesse's side or on Jay Beck's side or whatever you want to go whenever it comes to the fuel guy, to the fuel guy,
the
narrative,
fuel bros versus
everybody
the nerds
who wants to bet them is wanting to bet them for the belief in sun runs, the belief in luck and that these ones are chosen. And you know what? You very well may be correct. But if we were to program their strategies into a robot, and we had these robots play in mixed fields online, right? Like Poker Stars let us like bot them, right? And we had a Jesse Lonis bot, and we had a Chris Brewer bot, and we had a Landon bot, and we had a JBEX bot. We put them in these fields, right? Let's say we put them in the $11 hot daily.
You just have enough data to make the
right
bot.
And we did this for 10,000 events. You still want fucking JBEX and Jesse? I'll take the fucking RTA. Okay? I'll take the guy who plays as close to RTA as possible. And if you aren't aware that that's exactly how this works, then why are we all up in arms about the fucking RTA problem online? Because humans aren't beating it. Okay?
You can't be mad at the bots for people for using RTA and also saying that the bot was not going to help versus your strategy.
Right. Right. why are we banning Ali from the entire industry if what he does doesn't work in every goddamn field?
And he won in every field.
Every goddamn field. He won a fucking stupid ass circuit at the Rio for like 75,000. Why? Because he's fucking good. Because he RTA'd for 6 fucking years.
Shocker, guy good at poker can win at other poker places.
Shocker, guy who is literally getting paid to play the simulation over 100,000 hands is really good live.
Yeah.
Wow, never would have guessed.
Never saw that one before.
Stop it. Leave these fucking people alone. Let Landon stay in his goddamn dungeon and play online. You don't want him in the Venetian 400.
Leave the nerds alone.
Christ.
I know.
It's so funny, too, because I played the Win 400 simply because of this.
Yes, right. And then you won
it. You won it.
Right. Somebody else would have won that. Yeah. Somebody else who plays those.
That's $35,000 right. Stolen out of the pocket of somebody right. Who can't win anywhere else.
Right. Are you happy with yourself, Landon?
Are you proud of yourself?
I'm a bad guy.
You're a bad guy.
Somehow winning that had to like prove something. Like, oh, good at poker tournaments. Oh, okay.
All right. I can't believe where we're at in today's industry. I mean, like, look,
it's a good thing though.
I love the competition. I love the hubris. I love the fucking dick measuring. Like, I'm from a sports background, so like this to me is the core of what drives athletic competition. The problem is this is a fucking brain game, man, and smarter people who are doing the fucking work win. There's like just there like, isn't enough variance to correct for
just
that.
Just like people with really good genetics and like work ethic and yeah. Athletics win.
Yeah. Like
you
I'm not challenging
take my shirt off. Oh, sorry.
The fact that you don't try is sad. But it's like you have the same two people, but one is just genetically gifted and the other one isn't. Like
right.
How was this a conversation?
You want to know what, though? Like, this never changes. When Cade Hall played Mike Dantali heads up in 2017.
Oh, I want some money on that.
You're one of the few. Every fucking live idiot was piling in on Dentali's side.
What happened here?
Oh my god, bro. You have to go back and watch this.
I don't know the lore. What's the lore?
You have to go back and watch this. You just have to go back and watch this.
One of the comments are Dentali's in shambles.
The cliff notes, yeah.
Kate absolutely scraped.
You have to go back and watch this, okay? Kate Hall was a rising star in the poker industry. Again, like, theory wasn't, like, well-developed, but she's really incredibly intelligent.
Her and Uncle Dan had a little vlog series too.
Yeah, they did Fighting Chance. It was a audio podcast. Yeah. It was fantastic. Didn't really get much traction, but it was incredible. If you guys want to go back and listen, I think it was 10 episodes during the 2017 World Series. Followed them around. Fantastic.
So what happened here?
So she was playing with Dentali, and Dentali's a fucking loudmouth as always, and popped off at her, basically, you know, being sexist, being demeaning,
just being rude, like
right. And it was
talking about what she looked like.
It was also just like very arrogant in the hey, sister, you don't fucking understand this live game like I do. I'm a fucking winner, you know, like that type of bullshit. The machismo.
He does sound like that.
And it was just very much setting himself up to get absolutely mopped. So she had never played heads up. They set up a heads up game. I think it was a 20K. It was either a 20K freeze out or they were just playing like 25-50, 20K effective, whatever the case was. Okay, so actually it looks like they were 10K effective.
This is a Poker Night America thing?
Yeah, they played on Poker Night America, 10K effective. She fucking rolled him, bro.
Really?
I mean, she steamrolled this motherfucker.
They played like one session or just like...
One session, a couple hundred hands, doesn't matter. Here's the thing, like, people will always point to variance whenever they look at a sample this small. But the issue is that even over a sample that small, when the win rate gap is as large as it was between Kate and Mike, it doesn't fucking matter. Because he actually has to make the nuts at such a high frequency to win because he can't redline and he's getting redline.
Even Doug in the booth?
Yeah.
Wow, what a...
Doug was partially training Kate at the time, I think. Yeah. But they had worked together for like maybe 10 hours.
Sure.
It was like the equivalent of like me and K-Rab. We did one 90-minute call.
She was studying his heads-up course that he had just launched then.
Right.
I think even at one point, I remember Dentali being upset with her in the middle of the stream because she was going and talking to her friends, strategizing about what Dentali was doing in
and
real
time.
And
that's the thing.
As if this was like an insult to her. When it was like, no.
Right. And like, that's the thing. One person had a fucking strategy. The other one believes in unicorns. You know, it's just like, this is the big eye-opening experience for the live guy who has somehow been winning in spite of the fact that they have absolutely no idea what the fuck is going on, right? They just feel their way through things, and it's literally just a blind man in the dark. She mopped him, man. I mean, she mopped him, and this is dating back to 2017, so this was 7 years ago. The entire live world, all in on Dentali. Anybody with half a fucking brain that's sharp, all in on Kate. So again, the nerds made all the fucking money, you know, and the live guys got absolutely punished. And this just feels like another resurgence of that, where there's this huge chip on the shoulders of the guys that feel like they're not getting enough recognition and not enough clout because they're out there doing it naked, right? They're just doing it based off of the perception that they have a certain understanding for what's happening. And that is true to a degree in the sense that they have a higher degree of understanding of how the game works and what's happening around them than the people in their fields, right? So there are people that they're playing against that just don't fucking get it and are torching, and they're capitalizing off of that. But when you start to feel the fucking field with Chris Brewers and Brock and Saliba and Landon and, you know, Sam Laskowitz and all these other young up-and-comers that are fucking putting thousands of hours into simulations, you don't win anymore, man.
Oh, man. The Sepio win rate busted. Caps. We would have got him.
Fuck, we would have got him.
Would have got him.
God damn it.
Steven Song and Brock, the dynamic duo.
Yeah, how could we not be all in on those two?
Steven Song, very good at all-ins.
Very, very good at all-ins.
Brock, very good at poker.
all right, let's move on to the final bet that we want to discuss, which is Guru and coincidentally Sean Deeb paying it forward, I guess, or paying it back.
I saw this morning. I need you to explain this one.
Paying it forward would be, you know, when he gets to day 20, Deeb calls him up and he's like, hey, man,
I'll let you out for 20K. That would be paying it forward.
I'll let you have a cracker.
Yeah, and I'm sorry. Wait, no, it's for 3K to win 60K. So I'll let you out for 50,000.
Right, yeah.
Okay, maybe that happens. Day 20.
Maybe that happens. So
this video doesn't prove anything. Hold on. What is the bet?
Before I start my fast, although I am starting tonight, probably around a couple hours from now, 2-3 hours. I have had this before. It is terrible tasting. Not sure why I bought it, but it does have some things like magnesium that I need. Got the vitamins, whatever. Hopefully, I make it at least 4 days so I can give you guys a Venom ticket away, 10 days, another Venom ticket. You know, if I make it all 30,
okay. So, I'm trying to do something real special. If you scroll his timeline a little bit further, it'll give you the actual bet. But he's betting, he's getting laid 20 to 1. The rules of the bet are Deeb is laying 20 to 1, 60K to win 3K. So Rob is risking 3K. He has the opportunity to win 60K. He's allowed to drink coffee for the first 2 hours after waking up. He can have electrolytes, salts, and vitamins all day long. No food, only water and coffee for 30 days. And this was all pending blood work, which I believe has come back fine.
As in he can do this without dying?
That's the narrative, yeah. So it's a 30-day water fast. This is not easy, but it's doable.
Yeah.
Achievable. Right. Not like he's going to die doing something.
Not going to die, and honestly, he is...
Jesus fasted for 40 days in the desert.
That's right.
Our neighbor just fasted for 30 days, just water, nothing really? Else. Yep. Wow. He's a big dude.
He's a big dude.
He is a big dude.
So that's what I was going to say.
How do you police something like
well,
this?
Well, it's obviously honor
friends.
Code.
They've been friends for years.
All right. I'm just saying there's incentive to make $60,000 here.
I mean it is honor code. Honestly, what he could do, what I would have done if I were Deeb, is have him wear a constant glucose monitor.
Oh, and if it spikes.
Yeah. Yeah, and if there's any movement at all.
It's like an ankle monitor? Just, like a beep, beep, beep,
kind
beep,
of. But yeah, it's like you could have just gotten a constant readout. That would have been a good way to double check. But I think that Rob is in a good spot in the sense that when you take these challenges on, I've watched enough Alone and Naked and Afraid to know how this fucking works.
Right? Fucking guy.
You show up to these things with like 20% body fat, you're fucking dead.
Oh,
you're never making it.
Right.
Unless you were just like on a farmland where you're going to be eating every goddamn day.
Right. They get in there like, I'm going to get in great shape for this this challenge, right? And they're all shredded.
And you saw Garrett on Survivor. Isn't that
Garrett? Yeah.
Garrett showed up like fresh off of a fucking bodybuilder cut.
Right.
And he was just like, I was so hungry.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because like you know, muscle requires a lot of fuel.
Still got voted out before the person to put their food in the fire.
Wild, fucking wild. Never amazing. Understand that. But like, yeah. So like, in Rob's spot here, he's actually coming in. I saw like one of the most impressive people on Alone ever was like this 350-pound Samoan guy who showed up, and I think he lasted like 85 days without food.
Wow,
just like chilling.
Listen, I would never bet against a fucking Samoan.
Right, I totally
never,
agree.
I don't give a fuck what they're doing. Totally I'm not betting against them.
Right, totally agree. Just like the willpower is just like infinite.
And niggas is built different, baby. there's no other way to put it.
You ain't wrong. You ain't wrong.
No other way.
So I think Rob's like body type is in a good spot. Now, the issue is when you get to the point of carrying excess weight, it's because you're accustomed to overeating, right? Like you're just accustomed to consuming a lot of calories a day. So to go from, you know, maybe eating 3K calories a day to zero, it's going to be hard. And what I said, I spoke with him briefly about it, but we were talking about this bet earlier in Bobby's room yesterday. What I said, Jesus Christ, man, that had to be the best shape. That had to be the best shape Garrett's ever been in his fucking life.
Insane.
Like, what a mistake.
Yeah.
Oh man, insane.
He's just losing it. It's like, I want chicken.
Right, of course. What I said yesterday when we were talking about the bet was that the inverse is very likely to occur for Rob than what occurs for most people. For most people, it gets progressively easier, right? So like the first 3-5 days are kind of just like hell. And then like you get over like the 72-hour hump, and it gets progressively easier until you hit another wall, and then it just becomes like your body shuts down. Like, you know, you're basically starving yourself. And the last 2 weeks are probably just impossible for like a guy my size, right? For Rob, I think it's going to be the opposite. I think like the first couple of days are going to be probably relatively easy. And then it's just going to get like progressively harder in the interim. So I think he's going to have like this 7 to 10 day window where this is fucking hell, just hell on earth. But I think shortly thereafter, his body will recalibrate and set a new normal where it's just kind of accustomed to knowing it's not in feast mode anymore. And then it's actually triggering famine. And this is like the way the body chemistry works, right? Like we're very much a feast or famine type of organism. We've kind of been hunter and gatherers our entire existence. So there was always long stretches of feast and long stretches of famine, and the body is able to calibrate and create new normals like this. But I think for him, it's going to take a little bit longer to get to the famine side, where like for a guy my size, it's like if I go 2 days without eating, my body's just kind of like, oh shit, like we got to preserve. And we're just going to slowly start, right? We're just going to slowly start breaking down muscle because we don't know how long this is going
to
last.
I think it'd be impossible for me to go 2 weeks.
Not impossible. Oh. Nothing's impossible.
Right.
Shit.
If you were able to clear all of your debt tomorrow, all you had to do was last 21 days without food. You'll come out skin and bones if you need to. You're not going to eat shit. Man.
Yeah, I mean, he'll just have stevia the entire time. He'll be fine.
No, nicotine.
Yeah.
Love stevia.
Love nicotine.
Love nicotine.
Stevia. It's a beautiful thing.
So, yeah, this will be interesting. I think this is an incredibly difficult thing to undertake.
Yeah.
I don't know personally that I would have the willpower to do it. I don't know, like, what could drive me to, like... Every time that I jokingly say I want to be on Naked and Afraid or alone or something like that, it's the food insecurity that makes me always be like, but do I?
Yeah.
Right? Because for a little portion of it, like I've done 72-hour fast before. I think I've even done 96-hour fast. And it's like, there is this point where it's like, okay, I could sustain this. But there's a huge drop-off at some point where your energy levels just fucking tank. You're not a human anymore. Right? Like you're literally just... resting 24/7 trying to preserve whatever little bit of energy you have to get to the next day and the next day. And like if that happens at day 8 and you got another 22 to go,
yeah,
that pacing's like, fucking brutal, man. Mm-hmm.
You're like, hey, you know what, here's the 3K,
yeah,
I'm gonna go get myself a cheeseburger,
right? And it's like, even if it were an amount that hurt, like even if he had like you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5% of his net worth up, like at some point you just like, mm-hmm. I need the fucking...
The fact that it's only 3K makes me think that he's not going to win. Because yeah, like...
but the 60K probably matters a lot. I mean, 60K, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, it does.
You want to know something funny?
But like...
they're spending 4 days together, Deeb and Kuhn, in Costa Rica. It would be... Deeb is going to torture him. I would love to see that like on film. Yeah, I would love to see that on film.
Yeah, that's
he's just frying bacon every morning. not eating it, just frying it just for the smell in the air.
It's going to raise hell. That's so good.
That's got to be a huge mistake, man. Yeah, like, I don't even know how I would go about this. I mean, like, you have to rid your house of food and... honestly, the toughest thing for me would be like not having the ability to use appetite suppressants like caffeine. I know he gets coffee the first 2 hours. I would fucking overdose on that shit.
Yeah.
If I only got 2 hours of coffee,
you got ghosts.
I'd be 1 hours. Gallon. I'd be a gallon fucking deep.
There's
bro.
There's no restriction on how much you can have. It's just the window.
I think it's just like, okay. Yeah, the 2 hour window.
Yeah.
And I would assume no sugar.
Yeah. No
calories at all.
I assume it's just right? Black.
You're going to start like getting dread just every step you take if you have too much caffeine.
Just who cares?
You just OD.
Like, who cares? It will just keep
staring
you
at the wall and hearing the voices. It'll they're getting louder.
It'll just keep you satiated so much longer.
The voices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, like, look, it's not
60K for voices. So
I'd be worried what this would do to my mental health.
Same.
You know? It's going to do a lot.
Yeah, right.
I would be interested. Something that I would... personally consider, I wouldn't want to do 30 days, man. That's a big commitment. But like what I would want, at least what I would consider researching and maybe even possibly doing would be like a 30-day bone broth only fast where I was restricted to some amount of calories, like call it 800 calories, right? 800 calories would be
a lot.
No, but it's not a lot, but for bone broth it is. It would be somewhere in the neighborhood of like 100 ounces of bone broth. And with that 100 ounces of bone broth, you'd be getting somewhere in the neighborhood of like it's literally just almost all protein. Mm-hmm. So if you're eating 800 calories, you're getting like 160 grams of protein and then maybe like 10 grams of fat. That's sustainable.
Yeah.
You know, like I wouldn't atrophy so much that I would hate the process.
Right.
And I think like a week or so in, you would just calibrate to that level of caloric consumption, especially because of the amount of protein you're taking in. Like you would preserve a lot of your muscle at that point. While, man, maybe I should just do this to see if it's a good fat loss mechanism. Like maybe this is the final cut, like just 2 weeks of only bone broth.
There you go.
I'm gonna have to talk to my doctor.
Shout out to Tyler Geek. Do you just stop pooping for a whole month?
I don't think so.
What are you pooping?
You got a lot in there, man. You got a lot in the chamber. I mean, you probably poop less regularly. Might be like once every couple of days or so. But
and probably a lot less actual poop.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I had an MRI done when I peed blood a year and a half ago. They wanted to see if there was anything internal going on. And when I got it read, one of my ex-girlfriends is in medical, and I sent it to her to read.
Cause she's like, you got a lot of poop.
Yeah. She was like, everything looks good, but you are full of shit. I'm like, that tracks.
Yeah. We knew that. Yeah. It's like, okay.
Oh yeah. That tracks, which is strange because not to get too into the habits here, but like, I'm very regular, like poop once or twice, pretty much the same time every single day. But apparently I'm just like locked and loaded.
Unless I'm outside the house. If I'm outside the house, life is ruined. Mm. At least until I get home.
Another life ruined.
So bad.
You're not going to poop once on that boat.
Not fucking. You guys have no idea. Oh, man. It's so crazy.
Listen, go at home. Don't go at the office when you get back. We don't need anything clogged over here.
Oh, man. Jeff.
The poop gate all over again.
I don't want to spend too much time on this, but there's a funny story off of it. So Jeff Goodman, a.k.a. Tail Chewy in the chat, said that he did the 40-day master cleanse. And then,
oh no, the master cleanse.
And then he says, on the master cleanse, you clean out your pipes with salt water every couple of days. It's just yellow after a while. Yep. And what's not being said is all of the actual scientific bullshit behind the master cleanse. So you guys probably, Landon's definitely too young. LaManna remembers.
I don't know what this is.
So when the master cleanse came out, it was like 2008, 2009.
Men the master cleanse?
Mm-hmm. No. Came out in like 2008 or 2009, something along those lines. And it was sold as a means of eliminating your body from toxins. Mm-hmm. But that was just like the direct marketing. The indirect marketing was, this is a weight loss procedure. Okay. And what it was you would make this concoction of maple syrup, lemon water, and cayenne pepper. And you would drink it every day with like some salt water wash that you also consumed like every few days, right? And the idea was, and this is legitimate, Guapa, I don't know if you can find anything on YouTube, if there's anything out there, but there was a commercial where they would actually show, I'm not shitting you, some cartoon version of a human swallowing maple syrup. And there being toxins lining his esophagus and stomach, and the maple syrup pulling.
Oh, I remember this with the maple syrup.
Pulling the, like, sticking, like somehow maple syrup has this power to extract these toxins from your body and then flush it all out in some tar-like shit. And it was just like, this is such an asshole thing to believe in. And I remember Brent did it.
Yeah.
He lasted like 3 days.
Maybe not even. Maybe not even. He tried to get Brandon and I do it. And I got as far as the salt water. Mm. I did the salt water and believe me.
The salt water is the healthiest thing.
It literally just flushes you out. And I was just like, yeah, no, I'm not going to do
this. The irony is the salt water of all the things that it's doing is probably the healthiest thing because it's actually an electrolyte.
I don't even think I got to the lemon
pepper or whatever.
The lemon pepper.
But the irony is with the salt water, it's like the reason it's flushing you out is because you're over consuming the sodium, right? Like you're basically like, you're not meant to drink salt water. You're meant to have like small amounts of salt or sodium And you can put it in water. But yeah, so it becomes this like bullshitty thing where, of course, your body responds in certain ways. Like, naturally, you're going to lose weight. You're only consuming like 100 calories a day.
Maybe less.
Naturally, you're going to see a change in your stool and in your urine and like the color and the consistency and all this other bullshit. Of course, that stuff's going to happen. You're starving yourself and you're consuming fucking like salt and cayenne pepper and all this other like nonsense, where like, you know, the funny part is you're on the starvation diet, but you're also spiking your insulin once a day with this maple syrup consumption. Like, who the fuck thought of this, and how on earth did it become this trend that was like part of that? So obviously people would lose weight on it, but since it was occurring in such a weird, unnatural way, people would then just like rebound and spike back a massive amount of weight gain when it was all said and done. I was so pissed off when Brent was like this was peak me, knowing very little about nutrition and thinking I knew a fuck ton and being able to recognize a scam and just like beating him down with it. It was just like, show me the science behind. And he showed me this fucking video of maple syrup sticking and like, and he's like, my shit looks like tar. And I'm like, oh my God, man, if this doesn't kill you, I'm going to. Like, you can't be this dumb.
Oh man.
If that doesn't speak to capitalism and how available making money off the masses ignorance is, then I truly don't know.
Are those same people want JBEX?
They definitely want JBEX. Jeff followed up. He said, it wasn't once a day. You had constant spikes throughout the day because you were consuming the syrup. And then he said, I rebounded almost immediately. So initially he said he was in his 20s. He was 6'8 and 375 pounds. So he obviously lost weight and then, you know, spiked it right back up whenever it was over. Because that's all it is. It's just a yo-yo diet fad. Mm-hmm. Which is being the Master Cleanse. What a genius fucking name.
Yeah.
Oh.
What a genius name.
I'm Matt Berkey. I'm too good for allowing maple syrup to flow through my body and absorb the toxins so that I can live a life of bliss and health.
If you're going to mock me...
If you read correctly, man.
If you're going to mock me in Ephra's mocking voice, you got to get the words out. If you want to take
Shout
a beat...
Shout out to Ephra.
If you want to take a beat, you take a beat, but you read it well. God damn it. All right.
The clickety-clack and the poker chips.
That was actually really good. I think this is a good place to end. We missed the end of muck today, but we will get to it tomorrow. Want to let you guys know that there is a new episode of Season 10. So first episode of Season 10 on Second Thought. I don't know if you have a preview of that or not, Guap.
Actually,
this season in season 10 is that we played a lot of stand-up game, and because of that we can't really run traditional Sims the way that we used to for On Second Thought. For those of you who aren't familiar, On Second Thought is the sister product to Poker Out Loud. We basically take hands from Poker Out Loud, listen to people's in-game thoughts, and then turn that into strategy when analyzing it through the solver. Now the issue with the stand-up game is you can't really do that because there's no stand-up ranges. There's no ability to program the EV loss that comes with being in the stand or being standing in the stand-up game. And there's no way to program the EV gain by being one-on-one sitting. So what we did instead, or what we're going to do instead, is we're actually going to do a podcast style episodes for the stand-up hands. So I'm going to have each person who played the season come back on as a guest. We're going to do six separate episodes with each guest, Matt Hunt, myself, Timestamp Bro, Nick Seward, Nick Howard is going to be there, Jeremiah, and then Josh. They're all going to come on, and they're basically going to divulge how they approach the stand-up game, what first principles they rely on whenever trying to brain solve this in real time. And then I'm going to have an additional four or five episodes where we take non-stand-up hands and do it in the more traditional On Second Thought style. So that first episode is out. It's going to be me divulging how I approach the stand-up game, giving my strategy. You guys can find that right now at solveforwhy.io. Be sure to head there. If you're not already a member, make sure you sign up for the all-in access pass so that you can have access to both Poker Out Loud and On Second Thought. That's going to do it for us today. We hope to see you tomorrow. Be sure to head over to our Twitter page at onlyfriends_pod. We have a Twitter Tuesday prompt for you. What's a poker concept you still don't fully understand? Be sure to give some answers to that. We'll read the best ones on air tomorrow. We'll be back noon Pacific. We start filming Poker Out Loud tonight, so we're going to have some updates to that tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Be sure to look forward to it. Poodog will also be in the building, so we'll see you guys all then.
Peace. Later, squad.
Peace.